The Children's Commissioner and one of her predecessors are speaking out against plans to scrap the commissioner role and overhaul the monitoring of Oranga Tamariki, or at least the way it's being proposed. Legislation would replace the Children's Commissioner role with a new Children and Young Persons Commission, which would be run by a board of 3 to 6 members. The bill also plans to set up a new monitor of Oranga Tamariki, bringing it within the purview of the Education Review Office. But Children's Commissioner Judge Frances Evers says that risks compromising the monitor's independence, and the proposal would also remove the key powers from the role of commissioner, which allows that office to act without fear or favour. Judge Frances Evers is the current Children's Commissioner and is with us now. Kia ora and welcome, Judge Evers.
Tēnā koe, Catherine. Ngā mihi o te tau hau ki a koe, me ngā iwi o te motu hoki. Thank you very much for welcoming me onto your program.
Kia ora, and we welcome also Dr. Russell Wills, a paediatrician and, of course, one of those many children's commissioners who had a very high public profile. He was in the role from 2011 till 2016, and he is also putting his name in opposition to the proposals as they stand. Tēnā koe and welcome, Dr. Wills.
Kia ora, Catherine. Nice to talk to you again.
It is. It's really good to have you back. And the fact that you are so well known, as before you was Judge Beecroft, as before you was Dame Cindy Kiro and on, the late Ian Hassell, is one of the issues here, the public profile of this role. But Judge Evers, I wonder if you would begin outlining what your concerns are with what's proposed.
Well, The actual intent of the bill and the purpose, which is to advance advocacy for children and improve their well-being and monitor Oranga Tamariki in a better way, is great and laudable, and I support that. But it's the actual mechanics and how the legislation pans out once you read through it that I'm concerned about. The first issue is that the Independent Children's Monitor, which is the monitor that's being set up to essentially improve systems throughout Oranga Tamariki and ensure that children's rights and their well-being is being properly cared for and looked after in the state system, is not independent. And that's a key issue for me. It needs to be, a monitor needs to be independent of government, and it's not. It's the idea of the monitor I support completely, but it's going to be, as you said earlier, housed under ERO. It's, if it were, the whole point of an independent Crown entity as the Children's Commissioner is that you're independent, you give advice to government, but you're also free to say to government, hey, this isn't working, criticise various aspects, but try and make a change and speak out for children.
Judge Evers, we've heard, I'm sorry to interrupt you, we've heard very directly from your immediate predecessor, Judge Andrew Beecroft, speaking in a very forthright way. To cut straight to the chase, do you believe that would be possible if the monitoring and the public reporting of those findings were to be by a government department, of course overseen and with responsibilities to a minister?
So would it be possible, sorry, I didn't quite understand.
Would it be possible for that kind of forthright advocacy?
No, definitely would not be, because the independent monitor is housed within, is an agency, so it doesn't have the ability really to do that in the way that the Children's Commissioner as an independent Crown entity can. And it is, you know, all Crown entities have that ability. That's why we set up. It's a check and balance on government.
How would, under this proposal, how would that monitor relate to the board, which would have people, I guess, a little freer to speak? But what would the relationship be, and how direct would be the reporting?
You mean to the board of the commission?
Yes.
Well, we don't know. It's not really set out in the Act, and that's something that needs more thought, more consultation. We don't really know how that would work. So, I mean, there are reports that have to be done each year in relation to Māori children, but reports generally only have to be done every 3 years. it's hard. There is an obligation in the Act for actually the Ombudsman, who will now have the investigative function, the Ombudsman, the Independent Children's Monitor, and the Children's Commission to confer, to share information and so on. But the mechanics of that would all have to be worked out, you know, by those entities once they're set up. It's not clear. And, of course, that will take time.
How does it compare to what happens now when it comes to a monitoring role by the Children's Commissioner in its office?
Well, it's all done by the Children's Commissioner and the office. Those functions of monitoring, investigation, of advocacy are all within the Office of the Children's Commissioner right now. And we have done monitoring and we do it. It's well set up. It's been done for 30 years. The issue's always been one of resource. That's something that's now been put into this independent children's monitor. Looking back and reading on sort of behind in terms of the cabinet papers and so on, I think the idea seems to have been that the role of advocacy and the role of monitoring are in conflict. Now, I don't agree with that. I think they're actually complementary because the monitoring that we presently do gives us the data, gives us the evidence to say, well, this isn't working. And therefore, government, we need you to look at it. And we'll advocate for what's not working for our children because that's our role. But the monitoring complements it and adds and actually enhances that advocacy role, which is what the intent of this bill is. But I actually believe when I look at the mechanics and look at what's planned and sort of breaking the functions of the Children's Commissioner down into three separate entities is actually going to dilute that advocacy role, in my view.
What about the role of a board? Again, the argument coming from the Cabinet papers is one of resource and strengthening and, yeah, you know, diversity of role. Is having a board in itself the problem? Or is it the watering down, if you like, of that powerful single role, the concern?
Yes, I think it's the latter. I mean, I think the idea of a board is good, but the more I've thought about it, and the reason for that is that it brings in the community and you have more consultation, I guess, in terms of what's happening in children's in the community, but in actual fact, a board, there are two caveats to that board. One, it needs to have the Children's Commissioner named as the chair of that board. Presently, the bill does not name a Children's Commissioner. And that is not good for the children of Aotearoa because they know, as you mentioned earlier, that legacy of children's commissioners who have been strong advocates for children. Children contact us all the time and, you know, we look at issues and they know who that person is. But if you have a board, it's sort of faceless and nameless. But even the fact that the children, all the legislation says is that the current children's commissioner will be the first member of the board. Now, it's important, I think, that the board has, if we're going to have a board set up, it needs to have the Children's Commissioner named as the chair, so there is a leader. And secondly, it needs to, presently the Act says that the board should have 50% of people who have Māori knowledge and experience of tikanga. My view is that if we're really going to respect and honour Te Reti principles, which is set out in the Act, then we actually need Māori sitting on that board, not simply people who have tikanga and knowledge.
Judge Evers, the question of resources, which appears to be one of the driving forces here, a 2018 Cabinet paper I think you've already referred to.
Yes.
One is whether there's a conflict between monitoring and advocacy functions. The other is that the task is too large and complex for one commissioner. What do you believe the office needs if it's to answer that question that stops short of what seems to be, bluntly, a massive bureaucratisation of something that appears to have worked? Yes. On the face of it, I think that's a fair premise to put. You don't seem to be disagreeing. But no. Are there issues around resourcing, and could some of what is being suggested in that cabinet paper be met by less dramatic changes?
If I answer first, firstly, Catherine, the question about whether the task is too big, it's not too big. I mean, if we're saying that this task of standing up for children's rights and advocating for them and monitoring the institution of state care is too big for a commissioner, then we're saying it's too big, that it's too big for other commissioners as well. It's too big for CEOs of government, large government departments. It's too big for everybody. So I don't accept that at all. It is a question of resource. And looking back and you know, speaking to my fellow former commissioners, it's always been an issue, and I've seen where they've more resource has been asked for. The Independent Children's Monitor has been set up, and the resource they've been given is three times what we have. So that answers it. With resource, yes, we could be doing what the sort of detail that's now within the Independence Children's Monitor remit. And I actually 100% agree with the fact that needed improvement. No one would disagree with that. But definitely a matter of resource. And to just sort of come on the end of your the last part of your question, I do actually think that, you know, it is a little bit of this. Do we really need to do this? Does it really need to have to be such a broad change? I would say no. I think that we need to actually talk about this. We need to think about the mechanics. As I said earlier, the intention is great, 100% behind it. It's how we do it.
It does come at the time of the inquiry into the abuse in state care, which has, I guess, more fully shone the light on decades of failure of oversight and care of children in state and in religious settings, and also many controversies surrounding Oranga Tamariki, contemporary ones. There have been few times in its life where it's not had controversies, but contemporary ones as well. So is there an element of, if we're not going to have the same problems reoccurring, we do need to have a bigger investigative function or a more detailed monitoring function than we've had in the past?
Oh, I agree. I think there does need to be a more detailed and a better monitoring system, in the sense of the resource needs to be there so that it can be a much deeper dive, I suppose. Oranga Tamariki is a beautiful name, and but we need our, especially Māori, because it's mainly, you know, Māori. It's, I think, something like, last time I looked, 65% of the children, perhaps higher, going through the state care system are Māori. Our Māori people need to have faith in Oranga Tamariki. Before I came to this job, I was a district court judge sitting in family, youth, criminal, and mental health jurisdictions. Now, youth and family jurisdictions in particular, I sat there and heard whānau say, I have no faith in Oranga Tamariki. Who's that social worker over there? I've never seen them. Or, you know, this is the sixth social worker I've had in 3 months. Or, you were supposed to get my boy into school and you didn't. And it's at that level you can really see how the system's not working. And there's a lot of work to do. It's about efficiency, and that's recognised in the Act. It's recognised in the Cabinet papers, and it's about our people having faith in a system that's there to support them when they really need it. And that's why I'm surprised, actually, at the way that this legislation is drafted, because, as you say, at a time when these issues are really highlighted, it's an absolute golden opportunity to get it right, not just for now, but for our future generations, so that we don't have to, you know, we don't want so many children in state care. We want to maybe make one day Oranga Tamariki a much smaller department because it's not needed. That's the aim.
The role of the Ombudsman also, you're sort of in a bit of a 50-50 position on this. You support placing complaints and investigations function with the Office of the Ombudsman. Very skilled office it is, obviously, in partnership with the Children's Commission. You say some complaints and investigation of other matters can stay with the Children's Commissioner, in your view. But also that Ombudsman's office is under tremendous resource pressure itself. So Is any of this proposed legislation coming with indication of significant resource increase?
Look, I don't really know, but I think in terms of the Ombudsman's investigative function, they've always had that, and so have we. We've always had the ability to investigate. It's just that we have used it sparingly. I think, but when we have used it, it's been extremely effective. Dr. Russell Wills may be able to speak to that, but it's been effective. And what I'm really saying is that, yes, for the big investigation, they've got the resource there. Well, their whole purpose is to investigate complaints, but people will still, if a young person is thrown out of school and they want to, or their parents, and they think, oh, who can we ring? They're not going to think, ring the Ombudsman. They're going to think, where's the Children's Commissioner? We want to ring them. We want to talk to the Children's Commissioner. We want to talk to Judge Evers and say, hey, Judge, help me with this. And it's just the fact that the role of Children's Commissioner is there to serve children, of all children of Aotearoa, and that's the key aspect.
Ngā mihi, kia ora, stay with us if you can. Children's Commissioner Judge Frances Evers. Listening in and welcoming him back is Dr. Russell Wills. 2011 to 2016, he was in the role, paediatrician in Hawke's Bay. What do you make of what's happening here, Russell? You are fairly vociferously opposed to parts as well.
Judge Ivers and I share the same view, Catherine. really, if you're going to monitor the work of Oranga Tamariki, your key informants are the children and young people and the families who are in the system already. And their experience of government departments is often poor. So it's about trust. In my experience over 5 years, people came to the Children's Commissioner because I was a public face. They knew that the Children's Commissioner was the person you turn to. He or she is the person who's got your back. They'll take your complaint seriously. They're focused on the interests of children. They're independent and impartial and will do this well. What's proposed is none of that. We're talking about a group of commissioners nominated by the public service with no lead person in a government agency. That can't be independent, despite the name and what the legislation aims for. It just won't be, and it won't be seen to be independent, and it won't be trusted. And that matters because families and children won't come forward, and we won't know whether all these changes that have been made to the care and protection system are better or worse or just the same. So ultimately, it's about the independence of the role and the trust that's generated from that. The system that's proposed in this legislation is not independent, despite its name, and I think it won't be trusted, and we won't know whether the changes have been made or not, and that'll cost public trust in the Oranga Tamariki system as well. We can't support that.
What do you believe the motivation is?
Well, as Judge Evers said, there's two key points here that comes down to these two. The first one is our belief, we don't know whose because it's not named, that the job is just too big and complex for any one commissioner. Now, if that's true, it must be too big and complex for the minister and for the CEO. And it's just not. That's just not a supportable view. The Children's Commissioner has a team of really smart people who understand these systems well. We're well advised. And so that's just nonsensical. The second issue is more important. It cuts to the heart of it. And that is the belief among some in the public service that you can't be both an advisor to a minister and a public advocate. Okay? So if that's true, then all the independent Crown entities, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, the Independent Police Conduct Authority, the Health and Disability Commissioner, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commissioner, also can't be advisors and advocates. And that's clearly nonsense. That's the job. That's what independent Crown entities do. They monitor the exercise of power somewhere in government. they sit down with the ministers and say, this is what we found, and this is what is okay, and this is what isn't okay. And then sometimes we need to let the public know about that. There's a public support for the changes that need to occur. That's the power of independent Crown Inquiries. That's why we have them as a check and balance on the exercise of power in government. The Children's Commissioner is an essential independent Crown entity because this is a system that's fundamentally broken. And to attack anonymously this office and the previous commissioners anonymously and with no evidence forwarded for either of those claims just seems to me to be fundamentally wrong.
What's the attack of which you speak, the legislation itself?
So in the Cabinet papers, it's claimed that A, the job is too big and complex for any one person, and B, the roles are in conflict. There's no evidence, given not a single example, of where that was thought to be true. It's just that language of it is perceived to be by some. A view has been formed that, with no evidence for that, Catherine. In fact, our experience, mine, Judge Beecroft's, Judge Ivers, is that, as she says, the roles are complementary. You can't be an advocate for all children without knowing what's going on in the care and protection system. That just doesn't make any sense.
Does it surprise you we've got feedback coming in suggesting this is a purely political decision? Quote, the current level of advocacy is embarrassing this government. We've made little very progress in improving the lives of our tamariki. That's one quote from one piece of feedback. Others suggesting it's the same thing. And we have lived in an environment for some years now of the so-called no surprises policy. Mm-hmm. Began as an agreement actually between two political parties, Labour and the Alliance, in coalition, not to surprise each other, has over time morphed into anything that might surprise or embarrass a minister or provide a problem for a minister has to be kind of managed away as well. Believe me, as a journalist watching this happen over the last 20 years, I say that with absolute confidence. Is this another example of an inability to tolerate, publicly speaking, truth to power?
It's a really good question, Catherine. I think no surprises is important because if you're going to influence, sometimes you have to do that from within the tent, behind closed doors, in private, so you can, and you need the minister's trust. So I get that. And so, you know, Judge Ivers sent, you know, the draft submission that we sent you to Minister Cipollone. So she knows exactly what we're saying and why. And that's important because it gives her a chance to think about that and have proper conversations. So no surprises between officials and the minister. That's fine. The problem here is eviscerating and dismantling an independent Crown entity because that is an attack on all the independent Crown entities, not just the Office of the Children's Commissioner. These are absolutely vital checks on the exercise of power on vulnerable people in our country. And that's why the monitoring and advice role and the advocacy role must be kept together.
Kia ora kōrua. Thank you both very much for your time. I think submissions close today on that, so if people do have strong feelings, you've probably got till 5 o'clock to make your views known. I thank you both very much for your time. I've been speaking to Dr. Russell Wills, just there, former Children's Commissioner, and before that to Judge Frances Evers, the current Children's Commissioner.